Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Vegas Bad Boys presents our special guests, Cody Hancock and Jay Cafe. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got some of the bad boys here with me. Simon Street, how are you?
I'm doing great, very blessed.
Yes, sir. Sin City Steve.
How are we doing today, guys?
We're doing great. Matt Michaels.
All right, so I'm really hyped up. We are ready to talk to a person who has an amazing career in, you know, I mean, the words can't describe how great this man has been, including in 2009, he finished 14th in the world standings with $83,000 to his name, which is amazing. There has been some rough times. In 2004, he was unable to compete to injury. He'd gotten hurt. He couldn't compete. He's qualified for the tour 9 times. He's had 4 titles, and it's just amazing. He is Bull Riding's legend, Cody Hancock.
Son of a bitch. So, just to let you know, you guys are the first people to ever acknowledge that other than myself. Back when MySpace was a thing. So, I changed my profile picture to the professional bull rider Cody Hancock. And I put the caption on there, "If anybody sees this asshole, please tell them to give me my fucking name back." And you know, I think, thankfully, kind of around the time that I actually started wrestling, he ended up, like, getting arrested for selling people's fucking, like, garden fucking equipment. Like, he was going around neighborhoods, like, stealing, like, lawnmowers and shit.
Oh, my goodness.
And then selling them on Craigslist. Like, so I don't know if you guys have dug that deep on this dude, but yeah, I would like to think that I'm a more important Cody Hancock in my world. Maybe not the entire world, but I haven't, like, stole people's, like, fucking gardening shears and then tried to flip them on fucking Craigslist. So I think I'm a step ahead.
There you go.
Well, I think we just found your new ring entrance. We'll get you a hat, and we'll get you a couple of boots. And
yeah.
Oh, brother. I was named Cody after Wild Bill Cody Hancock. Wild Bill Cody.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad really was pushing to have my first name be Bill. And my mom kiboshed it. She's like, no, there's no way. So, and every time I ever encounter somebody from the South, that's the first thing out of their mouth. It's like, oh, you must be a cowboy. And like, no, I am not. Furthest thing from it.
Well, the voice you hear on the line there is our special guest from Future Stars of Wrestling, which is located in beautiful Las Vegas. He goes by the name of Cutthroat Cody Hancock.
That is correct. Yes, I decided to add the Hancock into the last name just once again solidify my status as being the most important Cody Hancock. So
there you go. That's awesome.
Okay, so the other thing, I think, I don't know if I'm the only one getting into this, but I can't pass this up because it's too good. So is it true that you collaborated with Connie Boyd Magic?
Connie Boyd Magic, yes, I did collaborate with Connie Boyd Magic for a bit.
Wow.
So it was hard times. When I tore my rotator cuff in 2000, I was either 16 or 17. I think it was 17. When I tore my rotator cuff, I wrestling was becoming my primary source of income. And when you can't wrestle and you can't make money, you're kind of put in a hard spot. So I was dating a lady named Elaine Alcorn, who was actually working on cruise lines for Connie Boyd.
Hmm.
And they took an interest in me from professional wrestling, and they decided that it would probably be a good idea to do a show with both me and Elaine. And Elaine and I worked on some stuff before anything got picked up. We like did like a little tiny magic show of our own, had it filmed, made a sizzle reel, and Connie saw it, and then Connie sent it to a company called Selections, which is a European talent agency that books acts for cruise ships, specifically Costa. And they saw the stuff, and they decided it would be a good idea to bring us on. And then they brought us on, and we got fired in 2 months.
Wow.
So,
and what was the was it just the act was just subpar, or did you guys end up, you know, like stealing from the buffet, or?
Well, I mean, I am a carny at heart. I have been known to sneak some food back to the cabin and stuff like that. You know. Ultimately, for the sake of not, I tried to make sure that I'm not airing out too much dirty laundry. So, and I know that you guys want juicy details and stuff like that. But bottom line,
that's all right. It's all right. We're not trying to be salacious. So it's all good.
Well, yeah, but bottom line, when it comes down to it, there's things that I have to hold myself accountable for. I didn't want to be a magician. I didn't want to be a magician's assistant. That was never something that was a part of my life plan. It wasn't a goal of mine. It was an opportunity that presented itself that gave me the chance to be close to my now ex-girlfriend, Elaine.
Yeah.
And ultimately, cruise ship politics are a little bit dirtier than pro wrestling politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been around the block long enough on cruise ships to know how to navigate the bullshit. Like, I've been around pro wrestling long enough to navigate bullshit. I know how to do that.
Right.
I was extremely green. Like, I didn't really have the opportunity to commit myself to magic the way that I did to wrestling. Like, it happened really fast.
So they picked
me up.
What? Go ahead.
Yeah, they picked me up, and I think that they were expecting something different. And what they got is what they got. I gave it 110%, but I can honestly say I really wasn't that good.
So in the end, your biggest magic trick was making the job disappear.
Oh, I would say more so Elaine making me disappear. That girl, I will love and respect for the rest of my days, man. But brother, when she was done, poof, into thin air. So, and Connie, I respect Connie immensely. She tried her best with everything. Me and Elaine both tried our best. Because ultimately, when it came down to it was politics that got both of us booted off the ship. And honestly, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I didn't have any control of my diet on the ship.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to stay in tune with everything that was going on as far as wrestling goes back home, or even in general, just because, like, you're lucky if you can get Wi-Fi.
Right.
We were across, like, the accompanying islands of Africa.
Wow.
There was a time that we were stuck at sea for 8 days because we had to reroute ourselves because of a terrorist attack.
Jesus.
That they named bad weather conditions. It wasn't bad weather conditions. It was a terrorist attack. So we had to be stuck at sea. Like, all the produce on the ship started going bad.
Wow.
Like, the only thing that was edible was fucking cheesecake. like that was the only thing that you can eat.
Oh,
and
man.
Now that's a dream for a lot of people, but you know, for me, like, I've weighed 250 pounds twice in my life. Like, I do not want to balloon back up to that. And it was just when we got fired, I think that it was something for me. Like, as soon as I got home, the first thing that I did is I went to FSW. Mm-hmm. And I knew then, I'm like, okay, well, I have to really, really fine-tune and focus on my diet. Me and Elaine said, thank you, fuck you, bye. to quote Jim Cornette, and she's off doing her thing. I'm off doing my thing. Like, I'm far happier now. Like, yeah, I needed to be fired from that fucking ship.
Nice. Well, good, good. I'm glad you got your fired.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I've never really been fired from a job before.
Really?
You know, like, it was kind of one of those things. It's like, all right, well. You know, and like I said, there's some things I do hold myself accountable for. I think that if we wouldn't have been let go of our contract, I would have ended up excelling and getting good. Because even at wrestling, like for the first 5 years of wrestling, I was really bad. And people always treated me as like, oh, well, Cody's such a nice guy. Like, maybe we'll like pitch to him to maybe be a referee or maybe do something backstage, you know, and maybe not do anything in ring. It took me a long time to find my niche in wrestling. And it was the same thing in magic. It was going to take me a long time to find my niche. And my heart is in wrestling. My heart's not in magic.
Gotcha. You know, Cody, kind of talking a little bit what you're bringing us through with the cruise ship, you know, tell us a little bit more about your journey and where that picked up at when you went to FSW.
Okay, now are you talking about in the beginning or like once I came back home?
The beginning, actually, if you can. That'd
be
great.
Oh, the beginning. So I was always a wrestling fan growing up, and I had a lot of health issues that I didn't foresee getting past. When I was 18 years old, I had a major lung surgery, and they removed the third lobe of my right lung. And there was a very serious concern that they were actually going to have to take everything.
Wow.
And then at that point, my pulmonary function comes in about like 67% on a good day. So I basically have like one full functioning lung. Wow. If it's a bad day, it can get kind of rough. But once I got out of my surgery, I knew at that point I was 18 years old. Like, it was a cancer scare, but it wasn't cancer, but they still had to remove the infected part of my lung. And I just knew at that moment, I'm like, okay, well, I've got to try to do this. And I didn't have any illusion or delusion, I should say, of grandeur, like illusion to grandeur. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a WWE superstar. I'm just like, man, I just want to have a wrestling match in front of people. Like, that would be really cool. And then at that point, I can say, hey, I did something that I wanted to do. I was saving my money up to move to Philadelphia to start training for either the CZW Academy or the Chikara Wrestle Factory, mm-hmm. which at the time, in 2007 or 2008, I believe that they were basically the same school. Like, you could choose to train at Chikara or CZW or both. And I was saving my pennies up, and then all of a sudden I saw that they were doing a wrestling event at Extreme Thing, and that was through Adrenaline Unleashed. I went to that show, and I talked to the promoter, Kent Wilson, and I asked him about information about training. He was like, well, I'm actually going to get ready to open up school out here. I was actually the first student to sign up to Adrenaline Unleashed. And mm-hmm. coincidentally, I was also the first person to leave Adrenaline Unleashed.
Wow.
And one of the reasons that I left Adrenaline Unleashed was due to the fact that they weren't running shows. And Future Stars of Wrestling, Joe DeFalco, contacted me over MySpace. bringing up MySpace again.
There you go.
He I believe I contacted him maybe, or one of us reached out to the other one first, and he offered me a spot in a battle royal, and I took the spot, and I ended up getting some flack for it. And then at the same time, there was another promotion that was opened up called Vegas Championship Wrestling that was a training school. When Future Stars Wrestling started, they actually would rent the ring from Philip Brown, who's Legacy. And I ended up getting in with VCW. They were running shows. They had a school. And at that point, like, there was no point for me to be at Adrenaline Unleashed.
Right.
They and I may say salacious things about Kent. Kent was somebody who I feel like liked wrestling and loved money. And I remember one of his justifying reasons for why he wouldn't run shows is that nobody would pay him to run a show. If you have that mindset, you're not going to go anywhere.
No.
Like any startup business, it doesn't matter what you're doing, even whether it's pro wrestling or opening a pizza shop. Like if you're not prepared to put yourself out there and show your ass to the public and say, hey, like, this is what we have going on, come down, have a free pizza, come see a free wrestling show, whatever it is. Kent was only doing one show a year, and that was an Extreme thing. And it wasn't even for wrestling fans. Like, the people that would show up to those Extreme thing events, they would watch wrestling in between the bands that they wanted to go see. So you always had people that were trying to hop over the rail and get in the ring and like things like that. And they didn't appreciate what was going on. It was just a thing to pass time.
Right.
You know, whereas Joe DeFalco, he partnered up with Rocky T, and they loved wrestling. And of course they cared about money, but they loved wrestling before they loved money.
Right.
And that's the reason why I really think that no matter what happens in Vegas, Future Stars of Wrestling will always be the heartbeat of this city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for absolute, like, it's, I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's a certainty. Like, Future Stars of Wrestling will stick around.
So, from what you've seen over the years at FSW, because, you know, you've been there a decade now, right? About 10 years?
Yes. Yep. I've been with the company since day one. And I left for a bit, and then I came back.
Right. And the whole thing that I think defines you is the fact that you almost have a Tommy Dreamer-esque career, where at the beginning, people looked at you, like you said, as not being just totally green, not deserving stuff, blah, 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 et cetera, not that good. And now people respect you on the highest level as being the most, you know, hardworking motherfucker out there.
Right.
What was it like to, what did you have to go through to end up earning the respect and getting to that point?
I had to break up with a lot of girlfriends. I unfortunately, man, I have the Henry Rollins curse of being motivated by negativity.
Yeah.
When things go wrong in my life, I either do one of two things. One, I eat depression Oreos, or two, depression I do a bunch Oreos. Of push-ups. Like, that's it. And, you know, a lot of the times it starts with depression Oreos, and then it ends up being doing a bunch of push-ups.
Wow.
And I've definitely struggled with a lot of loss. And once again, like, I mean, there's sometimes I purposely will put myself in bad situations in life just that way I can get pissed off enough to work out. Yeah. Like, that's the way that I do things. And I've heard a lot of people say that that's kind of self-destructive, but at the same time, I don't see it as being self-destructive because I've gone through probably three or four like massive changes in 10 years as far as like physically. When I first started I was a little skinny, and then I got fat, and then I dropped a lot of weight, and then I got in okay-ish shape, and then I got hurt, and like now coming back, like I'm in the best shape that I've ever been in my life. Like, and at 34 years old, I didn't even think that was possible. And I'm not happy with where I'm at. Like, I want to go further, but you know, it's crazy to look back on. And I think that when people that you know since day one, they see you, and every couple years when they look at you, they see somebody different.
Yeah.
That demands respect.
Yeah.
And it's not asking for respect. I'm not dieting and working out for people. Oh, please respect me. I'm demanding respect.
Right.
And I have worked extremely hard. I try to stay as humble as I possibly can, but I mean, sometimes I look in the mirror and I don't even know who the fuck I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's a crazy thing. To experience that, 4 times within 10 years, it's kind of nuts.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you talk about how there's a lot further that you'd like to go. You know, try and tell us and paint a picture of what that is for you. What does that look like for you?
I'm really working hard once again to be pro wrestling Henry Rollins.
Okay.
if I could like get my physique to be a little bit bigger, I would be happy with that. That's the challenge that I'm on right now. Like, I'm cycling in and out of keto, just to try to make sure that I'm building lean muscle mass, but also when I break off of keto and I carb load, I'm trying to make sure that I'm also maintaining a certain size, for aesthetic purposes as well as maintenance purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was fat, bumping didn't hurt. Right. When you're not fat, bumping really hurts.
Yes.
Yep. So that's one thing that I do miss about eating Hot Pockets at 3 o'clock in the morning is that, man, like I had some cushion and I could take some crazy stuff, but especially the older that you get, you know, like I've developed some really bad hip problems, that I'm trying to correct right now. And I'm going to put myself back out there, you know, like I'm going to be wrestling for Cactus League in Arizona on the 4th. After that, I'm going to be reaching out to various promotions. The Impact is coming back. I'm going to probably put myself in the tryouts.
Good. Nice. Good.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, when I have people that will come up to me and they'll ask me like, oh, well, why haven't you done anything for Ring of Honor yet? Why haven't you done anything for Impact yet? And once again, like I'm kind of a low self opinion guy, but if I've had multiple people ask me those questions, then obviously they see something in me to where they think that I would be good enough to possibly do that. And at 34 years old, I don't know. I don't know if the opportunity for me to get picked up by a company that's offering contracts is there, but it's not going to stop me from trying.
Right.
And at that point, like I'm positive, but I'm also realistic. If you put me in the same room as a Damian Drake or a Chris Bay, I know if I was paying money, I would probably pay to pick up a Damian Drake for a TV taping or a Chris Bay for a TV taping. I'm a hard sell. But that's also why I'm working really hard on my physique, and I'm really working on my conditioning as far as like in ring and outside of the ring,
right,
to make sure that I've got a fighting chance.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the focus that you have is where the drive comes from. You know, it's, if you weren't driven, if you didn't have that passion, you wouldn't have developed as far as you've come. With the development and with, you know, I mean, you've gone through some good times and some hard times. What would you say is so far been your pinnacle moment?
There's been two, and those are both the I've gotten two match of the years for FSW. I got one in 2014 with the tag match. It was a street fight between myself and Big Duke when we were in the following against Remy Marcel and Jack Manley. And in 2016, I got match of the year against Funny Bone and the No Limits title match, the steel cage with weapons match.
Yep.
Those, and both those years, our company was being fronted by Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
I remember those right years. Before he started doing the Woken Hardy gimmick. And on paper, if you would have seen me for the first 4 years, when I first started with FSW, and if you would have had Doc Brown pop up to you in the DeLorean and tell you that man right there is going to have two match of the years, like people would have laughed him back into 88 miles per hour, and he would have just went back to the future. So that's one of those things. Like, those are really pinnacle moments for me. I mean, championships are great and everything, but you don't get a whole championships with you forever. Like, right. nobody's going to be No Limits champion until the day that they pass and their title reign is like 60 years. That's not going to be a thing. But to have a company that has had 10 years and to have two match of the years within those 10 years, like, that's definitely the pinnacle for me. And I don't want to chase it. Like, I definitely don't want to try to chase another match of the year. But I mean, anytime I wrestle, I'm going to wrestle like it's my last fucking wrestling match, and I want people to remember.
Right.
So really quick, Cody, obviously your passion for wrestling and the wrestling business goes, you know, without saying, just from hearing you talk about it. It's without a doubt an absolute love for you. Do you have any other passions, maybe outside of the ring, things that you like to do outside of the ring?
Yeah. I mean, I like retro video gaming is one. I'm really into music. I listen to a lot of like different genres of music. Mm-hmm. I used to really be into comic books. I kind of had to kick that habit though, just because I can't justify moving any more books with me and things like that. And, but preserving retro video gaming is probably at like, that's overtaken every other outside hobby or interest right now.
Retro video gaming. What systems are we talking? Are we talking like NES, or are we talking?
Yeah. Like, I mean, anywhere from, I would say the NES up. There's some companies out there that are putting out some, hardware that will let you play old games on like modern TVs and make them look like really good.
Yep.
Analog NT is one. They've released a NES that is more capable than the original Nintendo. It has scaling options to make the image crisper. Things like that. Like they have an NES, which I miss the NES. Mm-hmm. Like they were selling one that was like made of wood. it was a high price point. It was like about $1,000.
Oh damn!
So I missed that one, but then they released a Super Nintendo one, and more recently a Sega Genesis one. Like, I picked those up. Those were a little bit over $200.
Okay.
And I sold off my original collection in order to buy those systems.
Wow.
So all the cartridges that I had, I sold the cartridges in order to pay for those systems. And there's also things called EverDrives. I don't know if you guys have heard about those. Have you heard about them?
I've actually heard of, I've never heard of it being referred as an EverDrive, but basically I've heard of it. It's kind of like cloud system based, holds all of your classic games.
Yeah, so more or less they're called flash drives. Mm-hmm. And what it is it's an original cartridge that is modified to load games off an SD card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can basically have one cartridge plugged into your system with like every single game.
Gotcha.
On the SD card. So there's a big gray area with that, though. because a lot of people complain about emulation.
Yeah.
As well as like digital rights, ownership and things of that nature. The way that I see it is that a lot of these games, they're not going to be re-released.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you can go and buy it for $5 at a used video game store, which if you guys are ever looking for used video games, there's a really awesome place called Retro City Games. That's in Henderson. It's really close to the FSW school. Those guys are awesome.
Nice.
Talk to Doug. He's a super cool dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but so if you have the access to get these games and play them, you know, I think that you should. Now, if it's something that you think is going to be re-released, like any game that gets re-released, I normally pick up. Like they re-released like Shenmue 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I picked that up. Like I've owned copies of it over multiple platforms. I have backups of it, things of that nature. And that's just one of those things. Like I said, I know the gray area, but at the same time, I think of it more as preservation at this point. It's going to be dead media.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, my next question is with, you know, you really being into retro gaming, what is your all-time favorite retro game that just whenever you play it, it's like, wow. Like my favorite is Streets of Rage 2 on Sega
Streets
Genesis.
Streets of Rage, yeah.
I will play it forever.
The Streets of Rage is definitely a banger. Oh, yeah. That's a hard question just because like there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To narrow it down, I will say the Fire Pro Wrestling series.
Nice. Okay. Hell
yeah. Recently been free for Steam. I think that's over now, right?
Yeah, I think they ended that, but I mean, I'm more than positive that they're going to put it back up near the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I bought every version of that game that was imaginable when they released it on Steam, PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up both the Japanese version and the American version just because I thought it was important to make sure that that company was getting the money.
Definitely.
That's another thing too, is like, if you really want to support somebody, pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I have no problem if there's a old version of like Super Mario that you bought at one point in your life, get the ROM. Yeah. But if there's like a new game that's coming out like Fire Pro Wrestling, buy the game. Like buy the game full price and support the company, that way they can make more games. I could play any version of Fire Pro for hours and be happy.
It's a fabulous game, yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah, facts.
So and, I mean, especially like it's like the first sandbox wrestling game.
Yeah, it really is.
And it seems like it's rudimentary because it's 2D, but man, that thing is it stands the test of time for sure.
So you talked a little bit about it earlier. Like there are obviously some purchasing goals that you have with retro gaming in mind.
Yes.
What is that? I'm going to call it a white buffalo or a unicorn that you have to purchase, but is ever so elusive.
You know, a complete inbox copy of Earthbound.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I have the cartridge.
Okay.
Just the cartridge. I actually sold that cartridge once again to buy that. Selling my SNES collection afforded me to buy the Super Analog NT as well as the SD to SNES EverDrive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was just the cartridge. Like, I want, like, the book with the scratch and sniff cards. That's what I want. I would be happy if I could have just that. But at the same time, I've let go of that. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I already sold my collection. I am no longer collecting things. Like, all my projects involve, like, either getting new hardware to play old games on or, like, modifying the hardware that I have now to play in everything in HD. Like, I have a mod for my Nintendo 64 called the Ultra HDMI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, it plays 1080p awesome. Through a mini HDMI cord, and it's got scaling options and it has anti-aliasing options, so you can turn off that like alcoholic blur it has on there.
Yes.
Like, you know when you like play GoldenEye, mm-hmm. and it just seems like you're drunk even though you haven't been drinking?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it knocks that off. So,
Me, I thought that was just residual effect. So,
yeah, no. I can assure you, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to go back and like play GoldenEye on an old TV whilst drinking.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to see anything.
Well, just to let you know, we'd be happy to chip in and get you a copy of that game. Except for the fact that it's going for $700 to $1,000, yeah,
dude. I'll tell you what. This is something that would help me more. Is if you were able to, if you're going to pitch in for anything, just buy some T-shirts, man. Like
I've got the same cause.
Yeah, I got my broken, bleeding, and still beating shirts, man. Like. If that would help me more than anything, man, like, and then at that point, all the money that's going for that merchandise is probably going to go for some new gear. So,
hell yeah.
Thank you for the offer, but man, yeah. That's another thing, too. Even when I got hurt, I remember people were telling me, like, why don't you do a GoFundMe? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to sell some stuff. Like, yeah. When I initially got hurt and I was out of work for a bit, like, I sold off my comic books, I sold off some of my wrestling stuff, I sold off some of my video gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't like asking for handouts, man. Like, if anybody wants to support me in any way, let me give you something. That way I don't feel like I'm just asking or taking.
Yeah.
Well, for anyone listening, what website can they go to online if they're listening in, you know, overseas or halfway across the country? Where can they find your merchandise?
Yeah, I mean, contact me personally. Either it's through Facebook, Cody Hancock. I'm the profile picture of the bald man screaming. if you go to Instagram, Cutthroat Cody, one word, you can private message me there. Twitter, I kind of tend to stay off of. I was active on Twitter when I was wrestling for Paragon Pro Wrestling and West Coast Wrestling Connection.
Okay.
Their fan base was actually really active on Twitter, and I actually sold some merchandise overseas to some people when I was Crash Test Cody. I sold some masks and some T-shirts and things like that. Just contact me personally. I don't go through Pro Wrestling Tees. I don't go through anybody else but myself. And that's a third thing that I believe in, too. Like, I appreciate the fact that those sites exist. And they definitely do help people, but at the same time, like, my money is my money. Nobody else is getting a cut of my money but me.
Amen. Amen.
Hell yeah. So, obviously, we talked a lot about retro gaming. You mentioned comic books. So, that leads me to ask this question. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would say over heightened tolerance for pain.
Okay.
Right. I don't want to say invincibility, but just to the point to where, like, I mean, I could just like fall off of a building, land on my head, and then say, ow. I think that would definitely help out.
Definitely, man. Cool. So, one other thing that we like to do on the show is, we've got a word association segment. So what we're going to do is I'm going to name off a list of names or promotions and just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, and we're gonna put a time limit on it. We're gonna do this for 70 seconds. So okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's get it going.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Future stars of wrestling.
The number one promotion in all of Las Vegas.
Jacob Austin Young.
That's my buddy.
Big Duke.
Big Duke, that is my buddy that I wish were still around. I miss him dearly.
Definitely. Whirlwind Gentlemen.
They had a huge hand in training me. Thankful for him.
The Bonus Boys.
Those are my brothers. Like, I love them to death.
The West Coast Wrestling Connection.
All right. I'm glad they're still beaten. just have fun, boys.
Matt Stryker.
Like a genius. Wrestling genius.
Greg Romero.
Another good buddy.
Mikey O'Shea.
Another good buddy. Love him to death.
And last but certainly not least, Joey Ryan.
Joey Ryan, brother, why did you have to sign my ex-girlfriend's tits?
Well, there we go. Got a little mini story out of that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, just to give you like a speed run on that one. So it was right before I started training. It was after a Lucha Libre Las Vegas show. One of like the 7-8 Wendy on was one of those shows, and
Cody, I, really quick, yes. Go ahead and repeat that. The phone cut out when you were.
No worries. So, the Joey Ryan story. I took one of my girlfriends to a Lucha Libre Las Vegas, which is not a good idea to take any young female to a show with Joey Ryan.
I agree.
This is all before the dick flip spots and all that other stuff. This is like right when he started doing like the Magnum PI thing. I think he was actually coming out to the Magnum PI theme, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
And after the show, he went up straight to my ex and was like, "Hey, do you want an autograph?" And she's like, "I don't have anything for you to autograph." And he's like, "Yeah, you do."
Oh, shit.
And he signed her tits. And then right when me and her broke up, it was around the time that I started wrestling for WCWC and Paragon. And one of the first matches I had was against Joey Ryan.
Oh,
so
shit.
So I didn't tell him the story until after the match. And then after the match, like we had like a really good match, too. And after the match, I talked to him. I'm like, "Listen, I was going to tell you this afterwards, man. Like, I hated you for fucking years." And he is like, "Why?" And I'm like, "Because you were fucking hitting on my girlfriend in front of me. And I didn't know what to do about it at the time." And then I'm just like, "But now after meeting you, like, we had a killer match. I don't hate you anymore." And he is like, "That's cool." And then ever since then, like, I always see him and we have like a nice laugh about it.
I would give you, let's say, $10 towards wrestling gear if you would get Joey Ryan to sign your tits.
Oh, absolutely. I'm starting, the pecs are coming in now. I could probably wear an A cup. So if Joey Ryan would be able to sign my tits, I'd be thankful.
So it's getting to that time of the interview where we have a segment entitled the Oh Shit. Basically, this is an opportunity for you to share with us Vegas Bad Boys and the listening audience a time that you have experienced either inside the ring, outside the ring, at a grocery store line, in a concert, anywhere, to where you were left flabbergasted and only could think of oh shit.
Okay, so this is a heavy oh shit. Right when I debuted for the following FSW show at the school, it was me and Jacob Austin Young versus Whirlwind Gentleman. And during the match, literally right as I got tagged in, I went in the ring to start with Remy, and the lights went out, just completely blacked out. And I grabbed them, and I get in people's eyes a lot. And so I got in his eyes, and I'm like, "Oh shit, man, what do we do?" And then he says, "Lighten up." And I'm like, "Oh no, dude, the lights are out." Like, "Brother, the lights aren't on. What do we do?" And he's like, "No, man, lighten up." I'm like, "Remy, there are no lights." It was quite literally a who's on first fucking moment for sure. And then finally he's like, He's like, dude, you're in my fucking eyes. Lighten the fuck up. I'm like, oh, okay. And so then, and this is the shame about this, too, is that fans started pulling up their cell phones, mm-hmm. and they started putting on their flashlights. So we were actually able to finish the match entirely in the dark. Wow. Here's the only bad part about that is that this was right at the time that Bray Wyatt re-debuted on Raw with the Fireflies thing. So a lot of people thought that we were trying to like rip that off. And it was not that. It was actually a good old mosh pit mic. for those that are listening that are juggalos, two whoops to mosh pit mic for basically having attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm. And he was around backstage, and he saw the kill switch panel for the entire left side of the warehouse. Oh, and he didn't realize that it was the main power breaker, and he ended up hitting the switch anyway, just out of sheer curiosity to see what was going to happen.
Oh, God.
Man.
So, damn. Yeah, big ups to Mosh Pit Mike for sabotaging a professional wrestling event while it was going on.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, that is definitely an oh shit moment. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, hey, Cody, man, thanks for hanging out with us. Let me ask you, tell us what upcoming events you have that we can know about.
I would like to say, and not firing any shots, There's a lot of things that are getting ready to come up in town right now. I know that mutterings of Dave Marquez basically doing an extension of like the Championship Wrestling from series. I don't know if they're going to be calling it Championship Wrestling from Las Vegas or whatever the name is. I will be in town exclusive to Future Stars of Wrestling, as well as events that are being hosted or helped by Future Stars of Wrestling, like Impact Wrestling. I'll be around. I don't know if I'm going to be on it or not, but I mean, I'll be there. But yeah, like my loyalty lies for Future Stars of Wrestling for sure.
Yeah.
If you want to see me wrestle, that's where you're going to see me wrestle, is Future Stars of Wrestling events, are events that are sanctioned by Future Stars of Wrestling.
Got you. And we want to remind everyone that you can get some gear. You just got to reach out to you.
Absolutely. Just reach out to me, whether it be through my social media, or you can. I'm a contributor for Franken Culture, so if you even contact Franken Culture's page, mm-hmm. like I have access to it. Like if you can't, sometimes people aren't able to send me Facebook messages for some reason.
Yeah.
So just you can send me a message through there. I probably see more messages through there than I actually do through my other social media.
Gotcha. Awesome. Hey man, thanks for hanging out with us.
Definitely, man. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. We appreciate you guys. And if you ever want me back on, I'd be more than welcome to ramble on for about an hour.
All right, y'all. Cut, roll, Cody. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
With us, he is one half of the tag team The Following. Goes by Mr. J-A-Y, Mr. J Cafe, Mr. Jacob Austin Young from Future Stars of Wrestling. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. What up? Oh, wow. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
No problem. And we were lucky enough to get Brandy and Lori and Tony. They all did the applause there for you to make you feel like you're home.
They're awesome.
So, you know, you're part of The Following, and, you know, you're a young man. What is it like being part of a stable that has someone like yourself at your age, and then, Cody, who's, I believe, what, 64 or 65 right now?
I mean, he's not that old, but
What have you learned from him, man? I just We love him. We admire the heck out of him, and tease and all good fun, of course. What has it been like, you know, almost, you know, really not only you learning under him, but giving him kind of, you know, a second act, getting a chance to, you know, do some great things in the ring?
Yeah. So I would say the biggest thing I feel like, not only myself, but a lot of people can probably learn from Cody is the ability to persevere through adversity. Anybody that's followed like Cody's career, you know, knowing like from where he's come to where he's at and how much he's not only like transformed his body, but like transformed like him as a character, you know, from going from Crash Test Cody to being Cutthroat Cody and being like a big feature on the Future Stars Wrestling show. And like anybody who was there, like I remember when like he couldn't do cartwheels and like all the, you know, all sorts of stuff that he's like things that he's come from, and that like desire and strength to just kind of continuously push through and make himself better, almost to like kind of like shut up the down people who would like look at him and just like look at how he looked before and just like pay him no mind and just be like, oh, this is just like a whatever guy, and never like giving people those kind of chances, you know. So I think it's very inspiring. And so that's like, that's the biggest thing that I take away from like whenever I've worked with Cody, whether we've been together or working against each other, is that kind of, that ability to persevere through that kind of adversity.
Right. Is there a particular match that you guys have had, since you've been part of the following that has stood out to you as probably being one of your favorites?
We had a match. We were wrestling the Whirlwind Gentlemen, Jack Manley and Remy Marcel, at the FSW Arena, and the lights went out. And we were like last, I believe, and we just kind of got weird. He says, okay, and we can't see anything, and the crowd actually started to light up the ring, kind of Bray Wyatt style, with their camera phones, and then we finished the match. And it was nuts because Cody did a dive, like we did Cody dove, like tried to attack Jack and Jack moved, and so Cody like dove through the ropes on me into the dark, and we just had this match in the dark. And that's one that like sticks out for me just because it's like oh, okay, we just wrestled in the dark and these people like lit up their phones. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff, man. I threw fire in Cody's face. and he had his eye messed up for a while right before he joined the following. Like there was so much from like, you know, kind of, we did a little bit of feuding prior to the following, kind of like when it first started, when it was just me and Bryce, and then Bryce had left and I was kind of just holding it down until we brought and created the whole group where it was me, Kelly, Bryce, and Duke. And then we started getting rolling and kind of like mix and match people to tag, whether it was like me and Duke, Cody and Duke, me and Bryce, Cody and Bryce, you know. And so, yeah, and then eventually when it went to the Strong Style Squad versus Cody's Cult, and just the kind of fun, like whether it was like the six-man tags or we had a one-on-one match, I thought was a lot of fun. But yeah, there's just that the lights going off is definitely the one that sticks out in my mind the most.
And do you remember why those lights went out?
I believe, I'm not going to name names, but I believe a wrestler hit a switch and the lights went off and no one, people were messing around and then didn't know what was what and then hit the switch and the lights went out and we were just like, okay, what's going on? And then the crowd just, nope, cell phones out, lit that place up. And it was crazy. It was like, it was definitely like weird to see like how like visible you could see with like the lights just right from like camera phones. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's still on like YouTube and could probably find that.
What's really funny is, and this is the great difference between you and Cody, you were very, very kind and were like, you know what, I'm not gonna let you know who the person was out of respect. Cody was just like, fuck it, and he gave the whole story, so so you know, that's I mean, that just goes to show the difference between you know, you guys. That's just awesome, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, is that and that's what I feel like we're kind of trying to do now as a tag team, is not so much being so much like tandem, because like we've done that before with when we were part of the Following initially, but it's like we've had such like different careers at this point that it's like we were kind of talking and I was just like, I don't want to like not show this character that I've developed with like J Cafe, and I kind of like not doing it to me felt a little it just didn't feel as good. So this last weekend, just a few days ago when we wrestled, and I came out doing my J Cafe stuff, and I think we're definitely going to be showing ourselves as individuals in this tag team going forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, a question for you is kind of speaking about the FSW No Limits Championship. You know, when we look at the nice long list of people who have held the championship, there are two names that stick out as far as the longest, like, days reigning. You know, obviously Remy Marcel, which from what I'm looking at, 371 days. And then you have yourself at, I believe, 350. Is there anybody that's either past or present that's held the FSW championship that you would feel is on the level of yourself, or someone that, you know, either currently holding the title or is going for that title that would possibly be up on that level?
So I don't know if that time, that the days is accurate, mm-hmm. because I think one time I was looking it up and I think there was a missed Funny Bone title reign between Funny Bone took the title from me and then Cody took the title from Bone. So I think that may have been missed, because gotcha. I did have quite a lengthful reign. I probably was like, it was like June of 2015, I think, or 2016 to like February, so like 8 or so months. So it was still pretty lengthy for the No Limits title at the time. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that championship has such a special place for FSW, because you see a lot of homegrown talent mm-hmm. Kind of being there, and it was kind of like a And it meant so much for the Following too, because like it was with Bryce for so long, and then to me and then to Cody, you know, it's just like mm-hmm. those guys that had it. So guys like and especially like guys who were so influential for guys like myself. So like the Remy Marcells, like you said, mm-hmm. Jack Manley's, Legacy, Psycho, Bryce Harrison was kind of the guard right before myself, mm-hmm. and then Funny Bone, who had won it multiple times, and then Cody, Suede, Tom Oste, even to with Damian Drake now. Mm-hmm. I think it just shows like that title represents the kind of homegrown talent, and like really gives an opportunity for them to shine. Because again, with like the heavyweight championship, you definitely see a lot of guys coming in and big stars coming in and going for that title, which is great. But I also really appreciate that, like, you know, that No Limits title, there were times that I was the main event of an FSW show as No Limits champion. Mm-hmm. And that was something I'm very proud of, you know, during that time was, you know, I had some fun matches as No Limits champion, but I definitely feel like I'd love another crack at being No Limits champion, and being, especially now with a new character, mm-hmm. To be able to do something new and different with it. And to the fact that I didn't have the really cool FSW championship, I had a different title that was recognized as the No Limits title. So I kind of want the new fancy belt.
Gotcha. So would it be safe to say it a little bit of possible foreshadowing if the puzzle pieces fall into place?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not as much as I love tag team wrestling in different places. I'm a little bit more featured as a singles wrestler mm-hmm. right now. And so it's definitely something that I'm more than likely going to do before I move on to different things.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing you make those moves.
And one thing was that really kind of stood out for me is last year you participated in an event at the Shaolin Temple in Shanghai, China for OWE. If you could do me a favor and just kind of walk me back through that experience, and if you have any stories of your time in China.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent about 5.5 months total of last year there. It was broken up into like two tours. So we went initially in April to June, And that was when we did the first like Shaolin shows. And so the shows weren't actually in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. It was another city. The name escapes me right now because we did two cities. We did one in Chongqing where we did two shows back to back. And then we did another show in the Shaolin Temple. So that experience was very interesting because that was fairly quick into what we like when we got there, maybe like 3 or so weeks, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 weeks. So it was, you know, being our first time, we were still very much getting acclimated to kind of this schedule and kind of getting used to our surroundings. I've done a little bit of international traveling. My father was retired from the Air Force, but when I was younger, he was still there, and he lived in like England and Germany, so I'd go visit him. So I've done a little bit of international traveling, but this is definitely like the biggest thing for me, being in such like a different place. And so when we went to the place where the Shaolin Temple was, is not as Western as Shanghai, mm-hmm. so there isn't as much like things we're familiar with. Like in Shanghai, it's like, oh, there's the Starbucks, there's, you know, this, that, and the other. Whereas like in the Shaolin Temple city is very not Western, and so it was kind of like you know, we're just kind of going with the flow, and you know, the hotel we were staying at, they fed us, and you know, it's just kind of like, okay, what is this, you know? But the show itself, yeah, that was a big thing in China. Yeah. The show itself was really cool because, again, it was the first time we got to work with the Chinese students who were very, very new still. We got to wrestle. So I teamed with Hyperstreak, mm-hmm. or Hyper. He's a great friend of mine. Probably one of my, like, better, like, training partners because we just have a, like, that relationship. But being completely honest, he's probably one of my best friends and just – we've worked together so much, so it's just kind of like natural, especially when it's doing the coffee character and he's like hyper and have all this energy. It was kind of like a fun thing to do. And we wrestled some of the OWE guys. So one of them's name is T-Cool, and he's kind of like this hip hop kind of kung fu guy, which is really awesome.
Wow.
Who else is in that match? We called him like the Randy Orton of OWE, which is Lofan. He's got the Wolverine kind of character, and his partner, whose also name is Vaughn, who's got the very eccentric, almost like, we called him Nakamura Scissor Hands because he kind of had that Nakamura hair, real like crazy movements. And then Jin Zhao, who is kind of like one of their like best high flyers. They called him like King of the Skies or something like that. Incredible. Awesome. It was a fun match, and like with that, we definitely like incorporated their kung fu with our like wrestling stuff, and it was a lot of fun, man. It was like definitely challenging but interesting, especially for me with my character, because I wasn't so coffee oriented before. Mm-hmm. But when going to China, they don't know what a hipster is. You know, they're not aware of that. So, like, that was very much my character with the Strong Style Squad. So, going to China, I had to simplify it and kind of develop it new. And that's really where J Cafe started to develop, was there because of that. Like, I had to, how do I reach this audience that I don't speak the same language?
Yeah.
So, that was the adjustment.
The universal language, ladies and gentlemen, coffee.
And you know, also,
absolutely.
Also,
I mean, sorry.
No, go for it.
No, I was just gonna say that you're absolutely right. That definitely, it's such a big thing. It's like everywhere from like the little corner stores, just like coffee everywhere. You know, there's this really cool coffee shop that they had. They had like cats that just kind of chilled in there. So they'd go there just to hang out, grab coffee before training, and say hello to the cats.
So, you know, kind of going with that notion of coffee, real quick, got to ask you, what's your favorite and least favorite coffee to drink?
Oh, man, my least favorite? I mean, it might be like sacrilege to some people, but I'm not like a huge black coffee fan. I like my milk. I'm big on lattes. Okay. So I'm not super big on like your home coffee that you make, but it's just like, you know, I like a little bit fancy with mm-hmm. Latte, mix it up with like almond milk and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. I like trying different things, so just like a nice latte, and I'll just change it up every now and again. because that was the thing. It was like Jay Cafe, it was Jacob Latte, Remy, who's Remy Marcel, who's been like a really big influence as like a trainer for me, just like with makeup names. So Jacob Latte was something he would call, and that's kind of what inspired Jay Cafe. And I mean, just like we were on a road trip one time, it was him, myself, and Suede. We were wrestling for his company in Atwater, California, called Fighting Spirit, and we're doing like character development, just a long car ride. We're just trying to come up with ideas, I think, for myself at the time, and he's just like naming stuff. Jacob House, Jacob Chair, Jacob, you know, just trying to just, he's being obnoxious, and because I'm trying to be serious about like talking about my character, and he's just kind of like giving me hell about it because, you know, I think he knows it's like, oh, you figured it out, you're just worrying about it too much. So
that's awesome.
What, I mean, what makes you gravitate towards going from what you were doing to creating a character that is a hipster? Is it just to generate that feeling of heel heat? I mean, is it something that, you know, because everyone fucking hates hipsters.
Everybody?
Yeah, I mean, it was it was like, it was kind of more like a natural thing where, like, I don't recognize myself as like a hipster.
So you don't recognize it, just like hipsters don't recognize themselves as hipsters.
Exactly. Well, because like I feel like to be a hipster, you'd have to be even more extra. And I feel like I'm only extra when it comes to like maybe wrestling. But it really just came down to kind of like wrestling preference. Okay. So big into like Japanese wrestling, like Super Junior stuff. And because of that, like sometimes when I would be training, it would be like the stuff that I would be doing would be a little bit not traditional to what like most people would recognize.
Right.
And so I just had this like developed a reputation for that. And so because it was just by being like only slightly different, I kind of got like people would kind of joke, oh, it's hipster, you like the Japanese wrestling, you like this or like that, whether it be Japanese wrestling, whether it was like old British stuff or anything. Because I mean, I really like all types of wrestling, and then there are like certain things that really grab you. And so that just started happening, and I think it was like probably right after the following stuff. And unfortunately, what happened with that into me winning the championship, the Nolan's championship, was that Bryce tore his ACL. And so with that, and then me winning the title, there was a bit of dissension, and I'd have seen a feud back then between me and Bryce, but unfortunately we didn't have that. And so then I was a little bit lost with the character. I was just kind of this baby face that had been with the company for a long time that the people liked and recognized, but I didn't really have a character besides that. And so in taking that time of like development and trying to figure it out, that's when the hipster talk kind of came, and it was just a decision like, all right, well, I'll just kind of run with it. You know, it was, you know, and so it was easy. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna get these sunglasses and pop the lenses out. And I had no lens, like thick rim glasses. And we did this thing where, Jace Battle gave me a red scarf, which is okay, hipsters wear scarves, but it was also symbolic to Bryce had wore a scarf for a while, not at FSW, but I believe at WCWC and PPW, but it was also symbolic of like Antonio Inoki, who wore the red scarf, so it was kind of like a little bit of both. So they got the scarf, and then I started coming out with the coffee cup, and that's kind of where it just started. It was just a little bit to kind of like, when we were in the Strong Style Squad, we each had a little bit of identity, whereas I was the hipster, young boy, Jace was Jace with our different kind of things. So it kind of, as a unit, where we all had like matching gear, had the kind of cut off t-shirts, crop top style, kind tie style, and then had our little bit of identity to separate us.
Right.
So, and then from there, going to China, having to adjust it again, and then again, just thought process, okay, what does this character look like? What does he wear? And then to this point where I'm at now.
So with your, what is your current finisher for that character?
Oh, man. So that's a hard thing to say because I don't really, I haven't been winning a whole lot of matches lately. me and Cody are definitely, we like the heart attack. but we're trying to change it a little bit. This last weekend, we hit the heart attack into a sliding lariat. It was okay, but I think maybe we have something in the works that I think will be a little bit more visually stimulating. There's an idea, and I don't really want to spoil it but it definitely has to do with the heart attack. As for myself, I haven't really set on anything specific yet. I haven't found it. I used to do a low-level super kick when I was part of the following. I called it the murder kick because it was definitely one of those strong things. So that's always there in the back playbook, but, you know, with being the hipstery kind of thing, I also try to find unique stuff that maybe people don't do.
Well, here's a ridiculous suggestion.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh,
here we go.
So you are a hipster. Just make a hip toss your finisher. Oh, my God. He hit the hip toss. Hip toss.
See, with that, it's the other way around. It's when I take a hip toss, it's the hipster toss.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Hip toss, it's the hipster toss.
The hipster toss.
You know, as a singles wrestler, you know, and as a tag team wrestler, there's, you know, for lack of better, you know, word, two different philosophies, essentially, because with the, you know, the tag matches, you are kind of telling a different story because you do have your partner. For you, what has been easier for you? Do you, you know, enjoy telling a story in the ring as a singles competitor a little more so? And I know it's kind of unfair because if you say yes, then it's like, well, he just shot out his partner and been like, you know, I like to do the singles better. But I mean, in this sense of philosophy in psychology in wrestling, what do you find appeals more to you?
So, short answer first, and then I'll go into more detail. I find singles wrestling more challenging,
okay.
But I find tagging with somebody sometimes can be more fun.
Yeah.
I've had a handful of tag team partners in not just the way of like people that I've teamed with, but like actually like been a part of.
Right.
When I started wrestling, I was teaming with Greg Romero. I teamed with Jack Manley for a little bit when we were doing a little storyline. I teamed with Bryce Harrison as part of the following. I teamed with Cody as part of the following. I teamed with Duke as part of the following. I then teamed with Jace and Jody as part of the Strong Style Squad. I'm teaming in Party Hard Wrestling with Jody and another guy, Jamie Beechler, as the Bayside Besties. Teaming with Cody again. I teamed with Saiku back in the day when we were thinking about turning me into Jacob Austin Jung. So I've had a handful of partners and had a lot of experience tagging, and I say that tag wrestling is the best wrestling because there's like a saying, and I don't know if it was Mike Quackenbush or somebody that said this, it was like with tag wrestling is you have more colors to paint with. Right. So like a singles match is really amazing, like black and white portrait, whereas like tag wrestling, whether it's 2v2, trios, you know, Survivor Series style, you have like all these colors to paint with, and you can have like such a bigger picture.
Right.
And then for myself as like a singles wrestler, it is that challenge. You know, I'm out there essentially by myself. This is my character. I have nobody to depend on because like a lot of times when I was teaming with Jace, that was probably when I was my most comfortable, was that his energy just made it like so much easier to like feed off of him. Like he had such like this energy that he brought up that like I could feed off. Whereas like as a single guy, I have to do that myself. I have to like fire myself up. So that's why I feel like it's more challenging, but I like that challenge because I want to become, you know, the best I can be. I want to be the best. So I need to put myself in those scenarios. And that's why working at like Championship Wrestling from Arizona and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, I really want to establish this character's like being a big feature.
Well, I think, you know what, you hit on something very interesting. And that is, if you look at it as an acting perspective, singles wrestling is like stand-up comedy, but tag team wrestling is like improvisational comedy. You know, you have a group, you create a picture, you literally have to paint a picture for people to see because you got nothing on stage. And with your singles, if you're doing stand-up comedy, you can go out there and you have to find that feeling, or else you are going to totally like blow donkey balls out there.
Donkey balls.
Hey,
that's a new one.
DJ, write that one down.
I'm going to write that down.
Write that down.
Some of us has blown those donkey balls out
really?
There.
Really? Right? Really?
But that, I mean, that's what it, you know, you can hit a crowd that is just fucking horribly ice cold. And if they're not feeding off of what you're giving them, then you're kind of going, oh, fuck, this is just, you know, let's take it home, wrap it up, you know. And so
we've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, you put them very good the way you painted. That is very true. It's, you know, it's a more of a challenge when you're on your own because you don't have the resources around you to pick you up.
Yeah.
So, you know, going a little bit outside of the ring a little bit, you know, what's some stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't know about you?
Well, I would say, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm, like, super interesting outside of it. I spend a lot of time now. I'm really trying to focus on, like, spend a lot of time in the gym. Because it's something I never really focused on before, so I'm definitely after coming back from China, because, I mean, when we were in China, that's literally all I could do was, like, we'd go train and, you know, go explore China, but, you know. So coming back, I really put an interest in, like, all right, I really want to make my body as best as I can. So that's been a big focus for me. Something else that I decided to do when I went to China was I do a bit of photography.
Yeah, your Instagram... You have some really, really nice photography, man.
I appreciate that. It's just something that, like, when I was younger, I won, like, a raffle, and I got a video camera, and I made, like, home videos of me with my friends making, like, skit comedy. But, like, editing, like, the editing process for videos is very, like, time-consuming.
Yeah.
And, whereas, like, editing photos can be time-consuming if you, like, have a bunch, but typically I'm never, like, shooting. So, like, if a wrestling photographer is, like, taking pictures, like, throughout the match, and then, like, I've seen, like, photographers be like, I got 2,000 photos and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm getting over 100 photos, that's, like, a lot for me. Because I usually have, like, an idea of, like, what I'm, like, all right, I want to get, like, a specific image and stuff. So that's something that I've been working on. As like a personal hobby, just something I like doing. Keep saying and I don't mean to do that.
Okay.
But I just haven't had as much time to do it as much as I'd like to, and like having like somebody to shoot, because that's the only thing I'm really missing. Because I'm not like super into like self photography. Yeah. I'd like to go out and shoot with people, but not so much like, I'm going to go shoot this, like, wrestler, like, posing and stuff. Like, no, I want more of, like, your street photography kind of styles, kind of what piques my interest. Also, like, I'm big into shoes. When I was in China, I'd be, like, looking at, like shoe revival, like, people, like, putting shoes back together, like, bringing them back to life, and a little bit of, like, photography for shoes, because I'm like, oh, that's kind of niche and interesting. So like I've done that, where it's like, all right, Vans are really cool, so I shoot Vans and like different kind of things like that. So that's really probably the most like interesting thing I'd say that I do outside of like wrestling. I mean, other than that, it's pretty simple. I have my buddies that we all game. I'm kind of a gamer.
Okay.
What
are you playing?
Typically we play Overwatch, a lot of Fortnite now. I'll jump on the Fortnite bandwagon. Okay. We used to play Friday the 13th bunch.
Oh.
And then
when it first started and there was bugs all over the place?
Not real bugs
for non-gamers like Daryl, who probably will think there's bugs. But yeah, that game was so riddled. Ugh.
Yeah, but it was great. It was fun. Like, that was usually we would just rotate between like when we'd get irritated and we just switch it up. So we have a group chat that we all like, you know, hey, who's on, you know, because it's a bunch of wrestlers and people are like traveling around, so whenever we can actually all get a chance to be on, like get a six stack on Overwatch, just wrecking fools.
Who's your main in Overwatch?
So right now it's Torbjorn.
Okay.
Torbjorn's my guy.
There you go.
I had like 50 hours on Symmetra before they changed her. Then I switched over. I'm like, I'm going to make Torbjorn my main. My other like go-to would be like Hanzo, but I haven't been playing as much. I literally play Torbjorn a bunch. I play Moira more, but Willy always picks Moira literally all the time. So
fucking Willy.
Yep.
So you like the build, basically.
Yeah. I mean, my little turret. But then it's like, because that's the thing is, like, if people were complaining about Torbjorn's all the turret, it's like, no, man, I'm getting crazy like headshots on Widow because
yes.
I have my kill feed on, so I can see, because I like seeing if it's like, all right, it's the red arrow, that means I know I got a critical hit on the headshot, and I always, you know, blow crit, bam. The Torbjorn and Zenyatta are like secret snipers with their shots, man. If you can get like enough time on them, you can get really good with like picking those moments.
True that, man. I used to play Overwatch a lot, but it's been about 6 months, sadly to say, since I've touched Overwatch, unfortunately. I might have to get back on you.
It's probably a different game.
Exactly what I was about to say. Like, I probably missed so much in 6 months that by the time I get back, I'm like, what the F is going on?
Yeah, new characters, all that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so, Jacob, really quick, what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick word association kind of a segment. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to name off some names or some promotions. And what I'd like for you to do is just tell me the first thing that pops into your head for each of these. And we're going to do this for 70 seconds. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Let's get it going.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Future stars of wrestling.
Amazing.
The Bonus Boys.
Tough.
Damian Drake.
Talented.
The West Coast Wrestling Connection.
Fun.
Anthony Green.
Fantastic.
Willie Mack.
Strong.
The Whirlwind Gentlemen.
Father Figures.
Big Valley Wrestling.
Fun for a while.
Suede Thompson.
He's my brother.
Douglas James.
Rock Chip.
Owen Travers.
Extremely talented.
Cutthroat Cody.
Inspiration.
And last but certainly not least, Joey Ryan.
I miss my old tag partner.
Awesome.
No sweat.
He made it out alive.
Like, he did.
No sweat.
I did.
Man, good job.
I forgot when we were talking about tag team wrestlers about or tag teams. I forgot that I teamed with Joey Ryan for Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
There's another one. Little tease and sleaze.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, with our next segment that we're going to be doing is we give an opportunity to where we give you a chance to kind of tell a story. And the name of our segment is called the Oh Shit Moment. So pretty much it's an opportunity where you've experienced something either inside the ring, outside the ring, whether you're at a grocery store, whether you were in the restroom, anywhere in general, to where you were just dumbfounded and were only left with the thought or words of, oh, shit.
Oh, man. That's a little... Man, I'm trying to think. I've been doing this a little bit now, so it's like to find one specific thing that was like an oh, shit moment. I have one that I don't know if it's like oh shit. I mean, it's a fun story. So I was this is probably around the time of the following, and me and Hyper Streak were going to wrestle for Arizona Wrestling Federation. We had a match against each other, and we got there, and the oh shit moment was when we looked at the ring. This ring. I think it's a lot better now, but back then, this is a few years ago, this thing was like like ripped up carpet was like the padding, and it wasn't like even, and it was just kind of like, just kind of that moment, because we're going up there and like we're gonna be doing this crazy match and stuff, and we get there and we see this ring, and I'm just like looking at it, and like to the point where we named it the Reaper, because I was just like, this thing looks like it like takes. So it really changed how we were gonna approach the match, because like as much as we want to like go and have a really great match, we also don't want to really put ourselves at risk. So we kind of I honestly can't remember a lot of the match besides the finish, because that was probably another like oh shit moment, was just how much of a positive reaction we got for this finish. Being the first time we were there, we did the Bret Hart British Bulldog SummerSlam finish, where it's like the sunset flip and then the sit down 1-2-3, but we changed it so it's like I get sunset flip and then I go for the cover Bulldog style, but then we reverse it into Greg Sharp, or Hyper Streak, who's wrestling as Greg Sharp at the time, gets the 1-2-3, and it was just kind of like roll up, roll up, roll up into the finish, and it was just, it got such a huge pop. Great reaction from the crowd, and it was kind of like a, oh shit, like definitely like, and then from the back, the guys in the back were definitely giving us a like praise for it, that we went out there and did something like that. Just, you know, sometimes you don't need to go out there and do, you know, I think this going out there and like really going hard is like super, like I'm all about that, but sometimes, you know, depending on scenarios, you can do a little bit less to get equal or bigger reaction.
Well, especially when the boards are exposed in the middle of the ring.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it was like the carpet, like it's definitely just kind of like, because sometimes you'll see like a big like roll and that's cool and all, but it wasn't even like a roll. It was just kind of like pieces kind of like put together like you would like pile. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably that's the first one that comes to mind as sort of like an oh shit. I mean, the lights turning off with me and Cody versus the Whirlwind Gentlemen was definitely like an oh shit. All right, what are we gonna do here? But yeah.
Well, definitely with the sound of just the whole, like you said, with exposed or pieces of carpet. I mean, that's a oh shit just in general. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you don't have to give the extra narrative that already on site. Oh shit. No cap.
Seriously, because I mean, even if you were with a woman and you saw an exposed piece of carpet, you know, you'd be like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, oh shit! Yeah. What's coming out of there?
Yeah,
you got a point, man. Jacob, man, thank you much, man. Can you give us your social media handle so we know how we can keep up with you, and then let us know what upcoming dates you have for events.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So let me set my phone on me right now. I should know my at handles, but they're both different, unfortunately, for Instagram and Twitter, because people have my J Cafe. I changed it over to J Cafe in a way so I could, you know, have that, because it used to just be like Jacob Austin Young. So my Twitter is @the_JCafe, and my Instagram should be @thejcafe_. Okay. So if you want to follow me there, I post pictures, my wrestling stuff, but occasionally when I get out to shoot my photography, I'll post my photography there as well. And then Twitter, I mean, I just, you know, promote my shows, promote stuff that you can see me on. Thank you guys.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you guys giving me the chance to speak on the podcast. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun stories. Yeah, it was awesome.
I will say next time we should have some coffee.
Listen, podcast over coffee, I think it'd be great.
There you go. I'm down.
I think he's saying that right now because he's got a donut in his hand. So what better goes with with donuts than have coffee?
I would say something right now what goes good with the donut. Oh, but, boy. You know.
Everyone, Jacob Austin Young.
Vegas.
That voice
of podcasting. Holding you down since day one. January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys Day One. Say
different, thoughts, outrageous,
interview,
exciting,
interesting,
intriguing,
amazing,
funny, intergalactic,
bad boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I
Chad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Chad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Ow, snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
It's my way of giving back to the community, you know. It's, let me tell you, it's like, it's really, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da. Like, oh my God, I do it.
Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle in my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, like, you know. And but, you know, again, I say that now, but
right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know. Like,
yeah, we know. B. Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror, and Terry's, you know, spanking his Woody on top of the back of Coco's ass. Oh. His pants ripped, and I'm going, "Oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison."
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely in our minds a Hall of Famer. Because
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio, or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
we're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a right bathroom. Yeah, we're in a bathhouse. We're
in
a
bathtub.
You're in a bathhouse.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I would, like, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's a preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted with the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
But in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live events. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.